I would like for you to get your Bibles out, and we're going to continue, of course, our study on the subject of finances, scriptural financial guidelines. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Tonight, I'm going to talk to you about financial caution with credit cards. Financial caution with credit cards. Proverbs chapter 22. Let's all stand together, and we're going to start with verse number 1. I'll read it through verse number 7. Proverbs chapter 22. Starting with verse number 1, it says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old he will not depart from it. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." And let's say a word of prayer. Father, bless the sermon tonight. Bless the lesson, that we might learn something. Help those that struggle in this area to be encouraged and challenged. Help those that are younger, that maybe would not have access to credit cards, to know of the dangers and the right and wrong way to handle it. Thank you, Lord, that you teach us something about everything in the Bible. Holy Spirit of God, take the next few minutes and use it to make us better Christians, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, as usual, and I say this often, the lesson tonight will be very practical. It'll be very down to earth. I hope that you will listen. The thing of credit card usage is abused in America, and I want to help us with it. Listen to some statistic. Americans currently owe $834 billion in credit card debt. 48% of credit card users make minimum payments only on their credit cards, which means then that their balance rolls over to the next month, so that they then will even owe more interest. The average credit card balance in America today is $6,354. And some of you might say right now, "Oh, well, good. I'm doing well." And some of you are going, "Uh-oh, I'm above average at something here." Over the last 5 years in America, the average credit card debt has increased 18.5%. The total overall debt of all Americans combined currently is $3.9 trillion. And that's not just credit card, that's all debt. America tends to want to be in debt. And it's very obvious we don't mind being in debt. Let me see if I can help you. I grabbed some statistics, and these are all pretty fresh, pretty new statistics. So that has to do with our ages. And there are some, I'm going to give you some age categories, and then I'll tell you the average debt for that age category. And this is credit card debt, remember. People 35 and under, the average credit card debt for them is $5,808. That's how much they owe on their credit card. Age 35 to 44, the average is $8,235. 45 to 54, the average is $9,096. From 55 to 64 is $8,158. Age 65 through 69 is $6,876. From 70 to 74, it's $6,465. And then 75 and above, it's $5,638. You'll be surprised at this. Men, on average, carry a balance of $7,407 on their credit card. Women carry an average of $5,245, meaning the woman tends to carry $2,000 less as a credit card balance than does the man. The average American today is 52% deeper in debt than what they were 10 years ago. By the way, a strong economy can benefit you. It can also bait you into financial calamity. The Bible can, I think this is interesting. Did you know the Bible has more verses about money than it does about heaven and hell combined? There are 2,350 references to money and money type things in the Bible. Now, stay with me. Let me get started. Let me start out by saying this. Number one, our nation is a nation in debt. Our nation is a nation in debt. America's current national debt is $22 trillion. If you watched the clock, the digital clock for our debt, it runs very fast. The Energizer Bunny's batteries will not keep up at how fast that thing's a clicking into debt. Listen to this. Not only are we $22 trillion in debt in America, we add $3.8 billion of debt every day. Every day. Let me explain something. You understand that whatever the government does represents you and I as the taxpayer. Which means this. If you take the number of tax-paying American citizens and you divide that into the $22 trillion in debt. Hey, by the how many of you are a taxpayer? Would you raise your hand? All right, you may put your hand down. You owe $400,000 for what your government has done to you financially. You understand this is our country. When we elect an official, they go into office, then they represent us. And so we're responsible for who is in office. He said, well, I'm not giving them the $400,000, neither am I. But I got to tell you, if you look at this realistically, it's our country. And you divide the number of taxpayers into that $22 trillion debt amount, we are responsible as individuals for $400,000 each. And I'm not talking about per household. I'm talking about per person. Our national debt is merely a reflection of the way American people think and spend. And I want to tell you, Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Get this. $22 trillion of debt in America. If you took $22 trillion $10 bills and you tape them together end for end, they would wrap around the world 8,360 times. Let me say that again. $22 trillion $10 bills taped end for end, wrapped all the way around the world, you could wrap the world 8,360 times. That's how deep in debt America is. So, I think it would not be hard for you to agree our nation is a nation of debt. Always remember something. If everybody's doing it, it's probably not a good idea. Number two, the Bible does not say that borrowing is sin. It does, however, clearly indicate that borrowing comes with responsibility and burden. It does, however, indicate that borrowing can have a very negative consequence. Proverbs 22:7 says, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." I don't know of any place where God says you may not borrow. Borrowing money is like renting money. But it's all got to be done right. It's all got to be done fairly, justly, and honestly. But remember, that verse said, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Be careful who you must submit to as a servant. I'd pick your master real carefully. The scripture says, the borrower is servant to the lender. In other words, the lender's in charge. And I think you know this. If we own a house, well, we call it own a house, but the bank has the deed, you know who's really in charge, right? You do understand that. You say, that's my car. No, it's the bank's car until you have it paid like it's supposed to be paid. So keep that in mind. So I said, number one, our nation is a nation of debt. I said, number two, the Bible does not say borrowing is sin. But it does make it very clear. It can be very dangerous and it can be very detrimental if not handled right. Number three, be careful that you do not put your trust or confidence in a credit card, but that you have your faith in Christ. Be careful that you do not put your trust or confidence in a credit card, but put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine understanding. I believe that one of the faults of credit card living is people have more faith in their credit card than they do their God. Do you trust Visa more than God? Do you trust MasterCard more than Jesus? Do you trust Discover Card more than the Holy Spirit? Do you trust your Capital One card more than the Bible? There are people who make all their decisions financially based on their credit card and its balance. I would think you'd be making your financial decisions based on God, scriptural principle, not on credit card funds available. So, my statement is, be careful that you do not put your trust or confidence in a credit card, but that your true faith is in Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible says? That which is not of faith is, what's the word?
Sin.
Sin. There are people in here, you have more faith in your credit rating and ability to borrow money than you do your God. That's what you look to. You think that's your security. It might be wise for you to get your security from God. That's a safe place. Number four, credit cards are not sinful. Credit cards are not sinful. I know some people say, credit cards are evil. They're of the devil. No, credit cards are not sinful. Let me read a verse to you and maybe you can figure out what is sinful. Ecclesiastes 7:2 says, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now my statement is credit cards are not sinful. Did you know that guns are not sinful? People are. The internet is not a bad thing. But people are. The television could be a very good thing. But the problem is people. People. Credit cards are not bad. I have a credit card here. That's not bad. That's not a bad thing. It all depends on in whose hand you find it and with what they do with it. So some people say, oh, credit cards, yeah, they're sinful. Oh, no. People are sinful. Credit cards are a resource or a form of currency, if you will. But credit cards by themselves are neither good or bad. You say, what determines if a credit card is good or bad? You. What determines whether a gun is good or bad? You. What determines whether your Facebook account is good or bad? You. Everybody wants to blame everybody. People blame inanimate objects for being bad. Well, who created those things? It's in whose hand you find them that makes the determination. Okay, so I said, number one, our nation is a nation of debt. Proverbs 14:34. I said, number two, the Bible does not say borrowing is sin, but it does warn us about it. Proverbs 22:7. I said, thirdly, be careful that you do not put your trust or confidence in credit cards, but your trust or confidence or faith is in Christ. Proverbs 3:5. Number four, credit cards are not sinful. Ecclesiastes 7:20. But men are. Number five, credit card debt may deny God an opportunity to be your provider. Number five, credit card debt may deny God an opportunity to be your provider. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. People so often run to their credit cards before they run to their God. I've watched people, they're facing a difficulty. And something's come upon them. And instead of saying, before I put that on my credit card, I think I'll pray and get to God. I can remember many times when I didn't have a credit card to run to. You say, what'd you have to do? I had to get to God and say, God, I've got an issue here. I wonder how many times God could have worked a miracle for you, but you didn't need him. Why? Because you had a master card. So God could have worked a miracle for you, but you didn't need him because you have another source of power and you have another source of what you call blessing, but I'm not sure. See, people let their credit card solve their problems instead of letting their God solve their problems. People trust their Visa card more than they trust their prayer closet. Could I recommend something? Slow down. And remember, God is the great provider. People used to say this a lot, and people used to believe this. Something comes upon you. One of the first things you do is you pray. Now, we only turn to prayer as a last resort. What would happen if you turned to God first instead of last? But my point is, number five, credit card debt may deny God an opportunity to be your provider. I wonder how many people in here would say, you know, preacher, I can remember one time I had a need, and it was a big need. And God miraculously met that need. How many of you have ever experienced that? Oh, yeah, almost everybody. Well, if he did it once, could he do it again? Maybe I ought to just give him a window of opportunity. Now, God's fast, but he may be wanting to see if you have any faith. The problem is you're fast. You say fast to do what? God's capable. He owns it all. Just be careful that you let God provide. Number six, bad financial choices and sinful predicaments are usually the symptoms of other issues. It's not all about money. Some people think it's all about money. No, you got other issues. Money is a reflection of something going on inside you. By the way, I believe that about music too. You show me your music, I'll show you what you are. And I'm talking about the music that you hide from everybody. But your finances say a little more than what you think. But point number six, bad financial choices and sinful predicaments are usually symptoms of other issues. James 1:14 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. For instance, bad financial choices may be due to a lack of contentment in the Christian life. Because you won't choose to be content. You're always trying to buy contentment. Well, money won't buy contentment. Let me say this. Bad financial choices may be due to a lack of self-discipline in the Christian life. You say the problem's money. No, the problem is your self-control. It's a lack of discipline. You say, well, it's all about money. No, it's not. It's about your control. Let's go on. Bad financial choices may be due to a search for security in the Christian life. See, I want security. I'm trying to buy security. Look, real security comes from above, not from your wallet. Bad financial choices may be a search for significance in our society. You want to keep up with the Joneses. You don't want to be humiliated and drive a car that's 8 years old. You want a fancy house so everybody thinks you're successful. What you want? You want clout. You want everybody to respect you. Can I tell you something? You ought to want everybody to respect God. And how you look is not as important as what you are when it comes to your belongings. Bad financial choices may just be your lust or your covetousness is out of control. So, point number six is bad financial choices and sinful predicaments are usually the symptoms of other issues. Take a good long look. Let's go on. Number seven. When used wisely, credit cards can be beneficial. I said, when used wisely, credit cards can be beneficial. I love this verse. Some of you ought to study it some, analyze it a little bit. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 12 says, for wisdom is a defense and money is a defense. Now, God says wisdom's a defense. In other words, wisdom's good for you. Now it says money could be a defense. Money could be good for you. It just all depends. Remember, guns are not bad. People are bad. What determines whether a gun is bad or not? People do. And a credit card is not bad. What determines whether it's good or bad? It's what people do with it. Credit cards that are used properly can be good. Credit card that's used properly can earn you rewards. Credit cards that are used properly can earn you benefits. And some of you know that. You say, I'm getting my rewards out of my credit card. Now, look, if you're getting a reward and you're getting a free $5 gift, but you're paying out $20,000 a year in interest, that reward might not be as valuable as what you think. And we're blind to those sort of things. You want your trinket. You paid for it. But credit cards can earn you cash back. Credit cards can earn you frequent flyer miles. Credit cards can enhance your credit rating if they're used properly. Say, I got a credit card to up my credit rating. Yeah, and 3 months later, you're in worse shape than when you started. You got it to improve something, not to make that something worse. But let me tell you, and listen to this, no reward or perk is worthy of inappropriate, sinful debt. No reward or perk is worth inappropriate or sinful debt. Okay, let's go on. Number eight. You should avoid carrying a balance on your credit card. You should avoid it. And usually, I know you say, oh, preacher, you're living in a dreamland. I know, but I'm going to say this because you need to hear it. I think you should avoid carrying a balance on your credit card. Romans 13:8 says, owe no man anything but to love one another. I think being as debt-free as you can is it's kind of a freedom that God would like for you to enjoy. Psalm 37:21 says, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. You have to realize your interest rates, they compound outrageously fast and they can destroy you very quickly. So if you said to me, what's the best way to handle a credit card? I would say to you, you pay it off every month. That'd be the best thing to do. You say, nobody can do that. I don't think, honey, 38 years of marriage, I don't think I've ever paid any interest on a credit card, ever. You use credit cards? Oh, yeah. But I pay them off at the end of every month. Mandate at my house. My daddy told me there are two kinds of people out there. The ones that pay interest and the ones that get paid. Pick which one you want to be. So the best thing you could do is to pay it off at the end of every month. Let's go on. That's very hard on you. Number nine. The Bible teaches that we should avoid a thing called surety. S-U-R-E-T-Y, surety. Proverbs 11:15 says, he that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. surety, what you say, what does that mean? It means making future financial pledges for a charge or for an interest rate. It's talking about borrowing and an interest rate being charged. Proverbs 22, verse 26 and 27 says, "Be not thou one of them that strike hands." It's talking about making a bunch of agreements, "or of them that are sureties for debts. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee?" And what it's telling you is, if you don't want someone to take away the place you live, you might want to be careful owing someone money. Now, remember, listen, if you go and borrow money and the deal was you're to pay back $100 a month on the first, if you'll pay back $100 on the month on the first, you ought to be fine. But the problem is when people stop, they stop keeping their commitment, all of a sudden the owner of the product has a right to have the product back, whether it's your house or it's your car or it's your bicycle that you rode through a field of nails. Nobody's let me live that down since I gave that illustration. The Bible teaches, though, that we should avoid surety. And that is having all sorts of interest and just living in a world where you don't really own anything. But let's go on. Number 10. If you create credit card debt, you are obligated by God to pay it off and in full. There's coming a day when it needs to be paid off. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 5 says this, "Better it is that thou shouldst not vow than that thou shouldst vow a vow and not pay it." So what's it talking about? Keeping your word. Now, to the younger generation, if you'll listen to your pastor for a second, I want you to hear something. If you promise somebody something financially, you're to keep your word. Your word and your name should be as good as gold. I can remember back when I walked into the bank with my dad, and my dad walked into the loan office and said, "I need blank amount of thousands of dollars." They shook hands. My dad walked to the teller, picked up the thousands of dollars and walked out. There wasn't even a signature. Because his word was valuable. Now, you don't do that anymore. But I'll tell you this, you ought to be able to. You say, "Well, how would they know that I would pay it back?" Because they would look at your record. And if you weren't paying things back on time last year, there's a good chance you're not going to pay things back on time this year. That's where you get that thing called your credit rating. You say, "What's that?" That's the mess you either created for yourself or the good name that you created for yourself by your financial record. So, but remember, if you create a credit card debt, you are obligated by God to pay it off. You need to pay that. So that verse is telling us that if we've made a promise, we're to keep it. If you possess a credit card, you agreed to pay the credit card company according to their terms. When you signed on the dotted line, you said, "Well, I didn't read all that stuff." Could I recommend something to you? If you're going to sign a document, you might want to read what you're signing. The average person that has a credit card did not read a lick of what that card told you. And that card was taking you to the cleaners. But you signed it. Why? You wanted it. It was quick money. But you vowed a vow to pay that credit card. You should keep your vow. That, and I believe this verse where it says, "Better is it that thou shouldst not vow than that thou shouldst vow and not pay." I think that verse teaches you would be better off not having a credit card in the first place than to have one and not keep your word about paying it like you're supposed to. You say, "Preacher, how would I know if I qualify for a credit card?" Well, do you make payments on time? If you do, then you ought to be good. If you don't, I'd be careful getting a credit card. Let's go on. I'm going to make, real quickly, and we're getting near the end. I'm going to make some real practical suggestions regarding credit cards for a minute. First, I would recommend you try to pay your credit card off every month if you can. Now, you'll have to figure out how you want to handle that. And you say, well, is it sinful for me not to pay it off every month? No. No, but I'm going to tell you, the amount you have to pay will complicate very, very quickly. Very quickly. You say, but am I honest if I'm making the minimal of payment? You're honest. Yes. Are you smart? Ask your mother-in-law. But if you can pay your credit card off each month, you're much safer that way. Next, try to get a credit card that has no annual fee or a very low annual fee. You say, when you say annual fee, yeah, they want to charge you $100 a year just to have the card. There are cards that will not charge you an annual fee. That's often a good place to start. So try to get a card that has no annual fee or a very low annual fee. And I might tell you this. There are cards that start out with no annual fee, and then they add one. It was in that bill that you never opened. They stated, if you don't respond to us, we're adding an annual fee. But you didn't open it, because you don't open those things. And they just went ahead and tucked it into your balance. There's probably somebody in here right now, you're paying a fee that you don't even know you're paying. They're good at it. They know what they're doing. Okay, next. Don't use your credit card for anything that's not in your budget. You say, I don't have a budget. Oh, well, I guess go ahead and use your credit card then. But if you remember, I talked to you about the importance of a budget, and that is having your funds allocated so your budget becomes your master. Your budget becomes your dictator. Your budget tells you on what to spend. You say, I'm going to use my credit card to pay my bills. Great. I just make sure that you're not spending money outside your budget, and that's one of the restrictions that you could put on the credit card, so you don't go money joyriding on that credit card. Let me go on. Do you know that you do not have to carry your credit card with you at all times? I can tell you of three times in my life when I was using that credit card. And when the balance came at the end of the month, I thought, good gravy, what was I thinking? I thought, I'm going to collapse here. Once I got it paid off, you know what I did? I took the credit card out of my wallet. I put it in a sealed envelope. I put it in the top of my dresser drawer, and I said, I am not touching it. And I set a date that I would pick it up again. He said, what were you doing? I was controlling myself. Some of you right now, you need to go home tonight, take the card out of your wallet, out of your purse, put it in an envelope, set it aside and say, I'll pay cash. Could I tell you something? When you start watching those dollar bills go back and forth, the credit card plastic doesn't shock you when you're taking it out and handing it to someone. Take $1,000 in cash out and start paying someone. You're going to start crying before you get all those leaves handed to them. You're going to think, what was I thinking? But with your credit card, didn't hurt at all. Three times, I know for a fact, I took the card out of my pocket. I said, I'm not taking it anywhere. Why? It had began to control me instead of me controlling it. And I was taking that credit card by the shirt collar and saying, you're not going to do that to me. In the dresser drawer you go. That's how I did it. Let me go on. If you have multiple credit cards, and you could get rid of some of them, you probably should. You say, but I need them. Well, what for? Musical payments. You ever heard of musical chairs? Musical payments. But honestly, every once in a while, it's a good idea just to get rid of a credit card or two. If you don't need them, especially if they're tempting to you, you might need to get rid of them. Now, I would tell you this. Earlier, I made the statement that credit cards can be good. They can help you. They can help your credit rating. Not having one in this society can hurt you. So, I if you handle them well, keeping some credit cards is a very good idea. But you got to be able to handle it well. Next, It's not wise to use one credit card to pay off another credit card so you can use another credit card to pay off the other credit card. You are starting a very dangerous trend. And you say, well, I had to do that once. Well, I'm talking about somebody that lives that way. That's a very, very dangerous thing to do. Next. Realize the credit card philosophy is this. Enjoy the item now and pay for it later. The Bible philosophy is this. Work and save the money and do without now. Pay for the item and enjoy it after you earned it. That's the Bible philosophy. Now remember, it's not sinful to borrow, but there are right and wrong ways of handling that. Let me give you another thought. Always, obviously, look for credit cards that charge a low interest rate. Boy, you can get some credit cards that are down in the single digits in regard to the interest that they charge. Oh, and then you can get them into the double digits, all the way up to 28 and 29% interest. Then, could I say this? Be careful about what I call teaser rates. You say, what's a teaser rate? That's when they send you in the mail a beautiful envelope that says, you're a winner. We are going to give you a credit card at 2.9% interest. And you look at that and you say, whoa, yeah. But the small print said they were going to give you 2.9% interest for 30 days. And then they start jacking her up. And it may be in the small print that you didn't read. They told you how high it was going to go. But you didn't read all that. You know what you saw? 2.9. And you're thinking, I'm going to be the next Donald Trump. Next. I think you should know this. The average credit card company allows an individual to borrow 250% more than he or she could conceivably pay off. I say this all the time. I'm going to say it again. The bank does not love you, and the credit card company does not love you. You say, what do they want? They want your money. You just accept that. They want your money. And you know what? They're not even good financial counselors. They just want your money. So could I warn you? You say, but the bank told me I could have it. Okay. But the bank, you know that banks don't have brains? They have a financial structure. What's it all about? Making money. So you want to be very, very careful just because they will give you a $20,000 limit on that gold Visa card, it might not be real smart for you to have a $20,000 limit. You say, but doesn't that look good? No, not when you pay $50,000 worth of interest on it in a 4-year process. Let me say a couple more things and we'll be done. Credit card debt does more to destroy people's credit rating than anything in America. I'm just telling you, people start piling up credit card debt. They don't make their payments like they're supposed to. And you know, that'll eat away at your credit rating. And your credit rating is very valuable to you. You say, what is your credit rating? I'm going to tell you what your credit rating really is. It's your name. It's your name. It is a reflection of what you are. That's what it is. I'll throw this in here because I just want you to hear it. I'd be careful making financial choices that keep you out of church or that keep you from serving God. You know what happens? Because people don't control themselves financially, if they have a little character, they'll go work to pay it all off and then leave God out completely. I'm busy working hard to get money. And so I can't come to church. I can't tell you how many people have fallen out of church completely because they had the character to pay back their bills. What we needed is a little character before they made the bill. So be careful that you don't get yourself in such a credit mess that you can't be faithful to church. Remember, the Bible does not say that borrowing is sin, but the Bible does lend to the fact that most borrowing does lead to sin because people don't control themselves and they don't handle the borrowing and the repay like they're supposed to. Our nation is a nation of debt. And it's just a reflection of the people that live in it. That's all.